Barry. I'm the pastor at Pitlochry Baptist, and I bring the greetings of the church there. I used to work here. I broke a few windows, and then I was told where to go. By the Lord. And my family bring you the love as well. My oldest two took advantage of the fact it was an extra hour. Not in bed, but out at a party last night. So they were meant to come today, but it didn't work out. But anyway, and I did notice on the timesheet that it's 25 minutes. So I really have to push on and cut about half of my sermon out. So I'll do my very best. But the kids hopefully will come and make noise and tell us that it's time for family church. When I was here, I think I always gave the young people who were baptised a copy of Jesus Freaks and modern stories of martyrs. And I've been very encouraged just to hear the theme of freedom through the songs and even the prayers that we gathered together and said today. I want to read you one, if possible. And this is a story from Cambodia in the 1970s. All during the night, the members of Haim's family comforted each other. They knew they only had a few more hours to live on this earth. The Cambodian communist soldiers had tied them all together and forced them to lie down on the grass. Earlier that day, Haim's whole family had been rounded up for execution because they were all Christians. The communists considered them bad blood and enemies of the glorious revolution. So in the morning, they were made to dig their own graves. The killers were generous. They allowed their victims a moment of prayer to prepare themselves for death. Parents and children held hands and knelt together near the open grave. And after his family finished their prayers, Haim exhorted the communists and told them all about Jesus Christ and asked them to repent of their sins and receive them as their saviour. Suddenly, one of his youngest sons leapt to his feet and bolted to the nearby forest and disappeared. Haim was amazingly cool as he persuaded the soldiers not to chase the boy, but to allow him to call the boy back. And while the family knelt, the father pleaded with his son to return and die with them. "Think, my son," he shouted, "can stealing a few hours more of life as a fugitive in the forest compare to joining your family here around a grave, but soon free forever in paradise?" Weeping, the boy walked back. Haim said to the executioners, "Now we are ready to go." But none of the soldiers would kill them. Finally, an officer who had not witnessed the scene came and shot the Christians. Freedom. And I'm not going to bore you with any William Wallace nonsense. And if you can't see that at the back, it's my best attempt to write freedom for the guys at the back. Freedom to choose is a core of our society, of all our culture. We have got the freedom to choose our job, our sexual orientation, our church, whether we go to church, what we wear, and all sorts of things like that. Home, school. We choose. However, my question really is, if it was Joe Bloggs, is Joe Bloggs really free? Me claim he, me celebrate, me live his life as he is, as if he is free. But my simple question is he free? Clothes and fashion. Now, my son, when I get married, to Miranda, I had curtains, as we called it back then, the early 90s. It was quite cool, curtains. It was cool back then. If you've got it now, I do apologise. But, and you know, we wore tie-dye and all that type of thing, and we wore very baggy clothes. My son Joshua, who has teased me all the time about my wedding pictures and what I looked like before I got married, he's wearing T-shirts down to here now. Obviously, his pants are showing and his knees are showing and all sorts, but he's just dressing like I was dressing back then. And I love the fact to just now bring up my pictures when I get married and show him these cool photographs of his dad, who was really up there with the trend. But I wasn't choosing. I didn't have the freedom because I was influenced. Some fashion house, some retailer was actually telling me what to choose. So if I was Joe Bloggs, and I'm claiming that I have the the right and I have the power to choose. Actually, the reality is there's many people having a huge influence in my life. And there is nothing wrong with freedom of choice. In fact, as Baptists, many people here may not consider themselves Baptists, but worshipping in a Baptist church, we really hold dearly that idea of freedom, of religious freedom. In fact, driving down today, I heard the Radio 4 service, and it was all about freedom in a Baptist context, freedom for all peoples to choose. So exercising freedom is a good thing, but only if it is obeying something which is good. And the danger lies actually claiming that we are doing everything according to the beliefs that we hold and according to our own decisions, but the danger is we're really not. Someone else is pulling our strings. Hypocrisy is a word that is targeted at us quite a lot. But, you know, the idea that we say something and we don't do it. But what about people who claim to be free but actually are following rules? So they celebrate it, their whole life is about freedom, but actually they are obeying rules and they can't see it. We don't have a name. Oh, I couldn't think of a name for such a person. But it is this feature in our modern life which I think is quite dangerous, because in fact, most people are being led by the piper. And they don't know they're being led by the piper. The piper is playing a wonderful tune, but we all know the children's story, that the piper leads the rats to their destruction and even the children to an unknown future. And that is the danger of saying we are free, but in reality we are not. Someone is playing the tune that we are dancing to or pulling our strings. Freedom for Joe Bloggs, I would say, is actually more fanciful. It is fantasy rather than freedom. I'd like to introduce one more word to you. And it's a word that's often frowned upon as being, and it says obedience. Obedience. You know, I separate them intentionally, because most people believe that there is a huge chasm between being free and being someone who's obedient, or the word obedience. But I would say that obedience is potentially the greatest of expression of human freedom. And I say potentially intentionally, because if I am obeying something, I must know what I'm obeying. It's very important. That's the first caveat of it being potentially the greatest expression of freedom. I must know what I am obeying. And two, I must choose those things that don't enslave me. I must obediently choose something that is giving me freedom and life and a future. At age 8, I smoked. At age 12, I smoked. Why? Because I took a puff of my mum's cigarette and thought, wow, this is just tasty. No. I did it because my mates were doing it, because I was being influenced. The Pied Piper was playing a merry tune, and I thought it was cool, and I wanted to do it, and it was dangerous as well, and it was hip, and it was cool. But we know that it actually restricts our freedom. And many people in here know that all too dearly, that it restricts their freedom and their future. And marketing and branding was a huge influence in them choosing to smoke. So how can we knowingly choose that which will increase our future? Listen. And that is the thing. I challenge us to listen. Obedience derives from the Greek word. Now, I can hardly speak English. I speak Glaswegian, so my Greek pronunciation is not the greatest. But we'll go for, since there's no many Greek scholars here, and no one was alive back then. Obedeia, okay? And obedeia, this Greek word, means to obey, understandably, but also to listen. So the prefix ob means in the direction of, and odia means to listen. So obedience for me conjures up this idea of really straining and listening in a certain direction. So the greatest expression of freedom is obedience when we strain and we listen to a particular voice, an influential voice, and a voice that we've chosen to listen to and we think is freedom. To listen to someone else actually is the original intent of the word obedience. And I think it's a fantastic example for us as believers in Jesus Christ. So therefore, how can we knowingly choose that which will increase our future? Well, we need to really listen, strain in. And if that means, if as young people, if that means looking at your parents who are worshipping the Lord Jesus Christ, as my children, as I baptised them in the last 2 years, Josh and Eden, their testimony was, I have not come from a crazy background. I have watched my parents love the Lord Jesus, and it has been an incredible influence in my life. One of my prayers has been answered. And so as we listen, as we watch, then that is the first part of real freedom. Freedom to discern. As I look at this person, do I like what I see? Do I see something that is inspirational, that is good, that is pure, that I want to become like that? And the second part of obedience and freedom is this: freedom to follow that which I have discerned has a future. I can only imagine it. Josh and Eden look at me and Miranda, and we're a normal family, and I do exactly what my wife tells me to do because she knows better. But as they've, honestly, if they've looked at us, they've seen something which has inspired. And there has been an element of, I want to be like that. But as we know, God has no grandchildren, God has only children. And so they themselves, by looking, by discerning, by straining in and working out, have chosen themselves a route for the future. And they both confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour through the waters of baptism. Now, we are often, or I know, I've often been accused of a blind obedience. You're just bringing your children up and indoctrinating them. They're just doing whatever they tell you to do. But I know the vows I made, our dedication, actually here, would have been Dylan's dedication here. Yeah. Shona's got a great memory. I can hardly remember what I had for my breakfast. But in that dedication ceremony, as parents, Miranda, myself, with Alistair there, we would have said, and we aim to live a sort of life and to teach our children about the way, to be a radical community that this church declared at that time, so that when the time is right and they so choose, they will follow Jesus Christ as the Lord and Saviour. So there's no blind obedience at all. No, there's discernment. And actually, there was discernment, and they followed, I think, contrary to our culture, the dominant voice, the true, strong voice of the Spirit through our Son, which we hear from the Father. And there's lots of dominant voices about our culture. We know that. And it's not just for young people. It's for the old as well. We think of King David and how when he went with Bathsheba, it was when he was about the age of 55 or around about there, when he had been on the throne for 20 years, he was at the absolute pinnacle of his career. The nation was extended the best. And they were feared, and yet at that moment when he was at the top of his game, he followed the dominant voice, which was his desire for self. And it had amazing, unbelievable ramifications, not just for him personally, but for his family, for his nation. And so it's not blind obedience, but it's discernment, it's leaning in, and it's listening, and it's making a choice. That's what obedience is all about. in amongst all the dominant voices that are around there. So it's not blind, but it is obedient in its freedom. And so I do this quite intentionally. In fact, I'll do this. Let's turn it the opposite way around. Obedient freedom. It's not just about doing what the boss says, but it's mutual love. Haman and his family knew that God loved them. They knew what was a crazy situation about them. But they had experienced the deep, healing, freeing love of Father through the Son and the Spirit. And they desired to just express that mutually. They desired just to express that back to the Lord. And if it meant witnessing to Jesus in front of the grave on their knees, they would do that. That's an expression of obedient freedom. They could have chosen to recant, but that wasn't real freedom. That was going along to the piper's tune. They knew the love of the Lord. They desired to express the love of the Lord. They knew that he was good, and he commanded us to do good as well. So in Jesus, for us today in Stirling, Pitlochry, wherever else you may be, we have got ample opportunity to do obedient freedom. You know, we're challenged this morning just to listen. Not just this 25 minutes or so, but in the prayers and the songs to one another or the spiritual stories. We've got lots of opportunity to go along with the flow and be an autopilot, or to really lean in and listen. Even if it means realizing, oh, I've been on autopilot and now I need to switch on. And from this moment saying, Lord, what do you have for me in this relationship of ours that I need to know now? That's exercising obedient freedom, because it's easy to switch off to go, you know, to please ourselves, to do it our hour in church and then disappear. Never want to accuse anyone of doing that, but I know myself. As being a pastor who gets 10 Sundays a year off, it can be too mechanical at times how we come together. So we've got ample opportunity. And it's going to require a lot of inner freedom for us. You know, what do I want? What does God want? And then trying to settle on what is the right thing to do. And it may be in stages, because we're not transformed overnight, but we know we are being transformed. So there is a battle between conscience, and there's a battle between feelings. I had high cholesterol, and so I decided to go on this strange diet of no beer and eating bulgur meat, which I actually really, really like. And then after maybe 3 months or so, and I'm really feeling great myself, I take out a measly little bottle of beer from the fridge, 220 millilitres, and I pop the cork, and Eden says, oh, Dad, she told me off, she goes, don't you let yourself go now. Come on, what is right? And I'm standing there with my bottom lip quivering, thinking, it's 220 millilitres, I've not had one for 3 months. And it's a battle between what we want and what we know is right. Feelings and conscience. You know, and feelings is good, but if we're driven by that, as David was driven by his desires, then it's dangerous, and there is a combination of two which is right. You know, following your feelings in your gut can be dangerous if it is not joined in with our knowledge of Scripture and the leading of the Spirit, and all of these put together. Which very briefly takes us to the passage. Forgive me if it's not expository, but I really felt keen to share those two thoughts in particular. which takes us to Jesus' chief concern. And it's a warning. A warning of the dangers of seeking and desiring only what benefits and blesses us. You know, we've enjoyed salvation. We know that outside of Christ, that whole freedom which is celebrated is not real freedom. We know freedom which is in Christ. And as you look at these two houses that Jesus describes, they're the same. They're built in the same location, I guess to the same spec, same colour, same... It's just almost identical. And it's when the environment of that day comes and hits that building that we see the proof of the pudding. It's like the other parable of the seeds. This is like the house that was built and all the difficulties of the day crashed upon it, and it crashed with an incredible noise. It's like that seed that was planted in the rocks, and the seeds went down only so far. And then when the environment hit it, it could not survive. See, there's inner freedom in choosing, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, to put the hard work in. The hard work of silence and of meditation and of loving neighbour. I love the story from Dallas Willard. I love Dallas Willard to bits. And he tells, in fact, I think it was John Ordberg, tells a story of a lecture where this young guy really was getting stuck into Dallas, and it was near the end of the day. And this young guy was getting stuck into him and stuck into him. And Dallas, at that point, just says, "I think this is a good time to end for break." And John Ordberg comes up to Dallas at the end and says, "Dallas, I know you, and you easily could have wiped the floor with that young guy. Why not?" And he says, "Today I'm exercising the discipline of not having the last word." What an incredible thought. I'm exercising the discipline of not having the last word. Look, brothers and sisters, there's lots of work to be done in here. So that when all of life throws at us, we stand strong. Not because we are good, but because He is great. Because He is great. And it takes this. Takes this joined together, obedient freedom in Lord Jesus Christ. David was 55 at the top of his career. You may just be a new Christian. The dangers to David are the same to us. The challenges and the command to David are the same to us. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And to love your neighbour as if he was yourself. So the foolish man was impatient. He didn't listen to instruction. He thought he knew best. And he didn't consider the possibilities. Walk in the dust of your rabbi. Walk close to him. Daily meditate with him. Daily give him your space. And allow him who is the new creation to continue that work that he's done within you. And be that witness that he's called you to. Wherever he has called you to. And like the Haim family, maybe in difficult situations, confess Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Not knowing what the outcome will be, but trusting that the Lord is for you and not against you. I'm going to finish there. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your goodness to us. There is none like you. Father, we commit anything which has been a challenge to us. We commit it to you that you're gracious and you're compassionate. And ask, Lord, that you take us on in this life that you've called us to. With the dreams and the hopes that you've placed in our heart, Lord, that we trust that you would bring them about. And in everything from today onwards, that you would be honoured and glorified through your Son and by the power of your Spirit. Amen.